Good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us here today at the Madeleine for the offering of this Mass on this first Sunday of Lent. Our prayers and condolences go out today to several of our parish families. Robert Lucy, a longtime member of our parish, died on Friday after a long illness at the age of 99. There'll be a funeral service for him at Memorial Park Cemetery this Wednesday morning at 10. Also, Mary Margaret Koloff died in recent days, as has the Loretta Hazelhorst, the mother of Dee Jansen, and Patty Cochran, the daughter of Lois Grummer, and David Chavez, the son of Arnold and Delta Chavez. So our prayers and condolences to all, especially the members of the families that are here with us this morning. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful that departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Please note that this week I will be available to hear confessions on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7, on Wednesday evening from 5:30 to 6, and on Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5:15, and also I hear confessions 30 minutes before each Mass on Sunday morning. Please see in the bulletin information about our upcoming parish mission that will be in mid-March. And please know that beginning next weekend, we will be starting as a parish to do some pastoral planning, beginning with an in-pew survey to help identify the needs of our parish coming from you, our parishioners, as to help us identify where our strengths are, maybe where also places that we need to improve and begin planning for the future as the people of the Madeleine. We're going to follow up that survey with a series of small group meetings beginning in March and concluding by mid-May. Please know that I will be at Bishop Kelly High School this Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. I'm bringing bagels and coffee for breakfast. And all the students and the faculty that are available at the Madeleine, from the Madeleine, are welcome with their friends to join us for breakfast. We'll be in the chapel building. When I was about 15 years old, I went on a two-week-long trek, hiking and camping trip in northern New Mexico at the Philmont Boy Scout Ranch. We covered more than 50 miles in that period, and it was a lot of backcountry serious hiking, including having to carry our own food and water with us much of the time. We had enough water to drink and to cook with, but not so much water to bathe with on a regular basis. This meant that we went 9 consecutive days without a shower or a bath or clean clothes. Now, to the question that you might have, did we smell? Of course. You probably could smell us coming down the trail before you saw us. But I know this is going to sound odd, but it really didn't bother us that much. Even though we were adolescent males. What was really going on, yes, you smelled bad, but the guy that you smelled, the guy that you shared the tent with, he smelled just as bad as you did. Everybody in the group smelled just as bad, so you just got used to it. Smelling bad became the norm. Now, occasionally we got a reminder that, that we were dirty. One day we were hiking past one of the camps had a shower facility. We weren't scheduled to stop there, so we just kept on going. But we passed some scouts that had come out of the shower facilities, and their hair was still wet. They had the towels around their necks, and we passed close enough to them that we could smell the clean on them. We could smell that soap and that water smell. And our reaction to this was, those guys smell funny. That's us saying, thinking that of them, not the other way around. I mean, that's how much smelling bad had become the norm. Now, by the end of the trek, we went back to the base camp, the large facility, and finally had a chance to get clean. And it's then we realized how much we stank. I don't remember how long I stood in that shower, washing off 9 days of dirt and sweat and smell. I just remember how good it felt. And that shower was almost 4 decades ago. I still remember how good it felt. I still remember how good it was to be clean again. To be clean again. That's what Lent offers to us. In a unique way, unique opportunity to do just that through prayer, fasting, penance, acts of charity, especially through the grace of the sacraments, making a good confession, receiving Jesus in the Eucharist in a state of grace, to be made clean again, washed free of whatever sin, whatever distraction, whatever compulsion that drives a wedge between us and the God who loves us, what drives a wedge between one another, that divides and separates us as His church. On this first Sunday of Lent, at Mass, we hear in the Gospel reading of Jesus' 40 days in the desert. And those 40 days of Jesus in the desert are the model for our 40 days of Lent. And this year we hear Mark's brief account of the event, which ends with the words, "Repent and believe in the Gospel." The very words that you may have heard on Ash Wednesday. Or you may have heard the words, "Remember that you are dust and dust you shall return." As we receive that mark of penance as we began the Lenten season, the ashes of the burnt palms from last year's Passion Sunday, made in the form of a cross to be placed upon our foreheads, a mark of humility, saying publicly that we are sinners in need of the mercy and forgiveness that only Jesus can bring through His cross and resurrection. It is a mark of faith in that we express the desire to be washed clean again. To be made clean again. That's what's happening with Noah and the ark, which we also hear of today. And that waters of the great flood, think of it this way, God is pushing the reset button. God reboots the hard drive of creation. A world that has been so corrupted by the effects of sin, of cruelty, violence, hatred, just to name a few, is being washed clean. And the remnant of what is good, remember what God creates it for the good. A remnant of that good is placed in the ark. It is preserved from the waters of destruction to go then and to repopulate the world. The image of the ark as a place of safety and refuge in the midst of chaos is at times applied to the church, of who we are to be. Now, Pope Francis uses some different images, but that carry much the same meaning, such as the church as a field hospital where those wounded by sin, those injured by the cruelty of others can find a place of peace and healing. And he also has used that image of the church as an island of mercy in a sea of misery. Lent reminds us that as the church, we are to be a people who encounter Jesus. The image of the ark and of the flood that prefigures the waters of baptism, washing clean the conscience through the resurrection of Jesus, as we hear in the New Testament letter of St. Peter. We are to be that people who hear the words of Jesus to repent and believe in the gospel and to share this good news with those who are wounded and who seek a place of safety, who seek a place to be healed. We begin the time of Lent with this mark of repentance so that we can renew the promises of our own baptism on Easter Sunday. To, as Jesus did in the desert, to say that we reject Satan and all of his empty promises. We enter into Lent every year. And every year we have a Holy Week, every year we have an Easter. And for a reason. We have a Lent every year to be confronted by our sin and the need to repent, but also the need for hope, the hope of being washed clean by grace. Yes, Lent is a time of penance, but it's also a time of hope. And without this yearly reminder, I think we easily fall into a sense of indifference, not only to sin, but also of grace. If we are indifferent to our sin of pride, of anger, of envy, if they become the normal way of life, then we won't realize just how dirty we have become. And if pride and anger and envy are the norm, I'm willing to bet that the sins of laziness, greed, gluttony, and lust are not far behind. If we are indifferent because this is the way that life has become, this is what the way we're used to living, if this is the norm for the company that we keep, if this is the norm in which the culture in which we live, we won't realize how much we stink. I think a good amount of the misunderstanding or criticism within our culture towards the Christian message, I think, stems from this indifference. Not only a lack of awareness of sin, but also a lack of awareness of grace and also the power of virtue of the Christian message. When the people encounter us, they should see that we are not like other people because we're striving to live out the virtues of our Christian faith. That we should be different. We should act different. We should think different. We should have a different cultural smell about us. And sometimes it leads to confusion. Like, those people are funny. And sometimes it leads to mockery and even hostility. In a culture that has forgotten what it's like to be clean, if we are indifferent to sin, then we are also, I believe, indifferent to grace, God's grace that heals us, frees us, washes us clean, and makes us into a new creation. These 40 days of Lent are an ideal time to stand in the shower of grace, of mercy, to wash away the years of fear, of sin, of indifference, as Jesus calls us to repent and believe in the gospel.